All right. So awesome to be together and singing God's praises. And it came to me, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Where did you learn that?
Preschool.
There we go. Maybe Sunday school. I was blessed to have parents that talked about faith very naturally. It wasn't a perfect environment. It was a life environment of love and forgiveness with one another. But I think about Mrs. Snyder, my first grade Sunday school, who taught me that song and taught me the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Anybody remember that song? I think about Pastor Steve. Pastor Steve, my youth pastor, who took us on retreats and on weekly gatherings and on trips to Chicago and inner city and things like that. And that's when it started to become real. But then I think about when I was in high school, it was these young adults, the Bozells, the Mifflins, and the O'Fallons. They were professionals in the community. They were lawyers and they were teachers and educators and business executives. And I thought, man, they're really cool. And they're really sold out to Jesus too. I want to be like that. And I wonder, when I think about all those different connections, it's all part of this thing we call community, Christian community. We thought we'd start the sermon off just a little bit different this morning, the message. And so we're going to share a little bit from some of you. Some of you were just asked this morning because someone wasn't able to be here this morning. So you're going to hear it fresh off the iron here. But I ran into a young man who was part of our youth group 20 years ago, and he was in town this past week. And I said, hey, can you just bring a greeting to our church? So his name is Nick Smock. He was around, he grew up at this church, and he just wanted to bring a greeting to you guys this morning as we talk about community. Let's listen to Nick.
When I think about community, I just think about back in my high school days and all of the youth group days I had growing up at the church. And there's no way I would be where I am today and have the connections and have the relationships anywhere near that if I hadn't had the church and everybody around me, the pastors, the youth leaders, all my friends that supported me and helped me during that crucial time in life. And now being away from the area where I grew up in, you know, having those connections are lifelong for me, and just having that connection whenever I come back home and talking on the phone and FaceTiming all of my friends from back home. It's just, those are the type of connections that I had growing up, and those are relationships that I think are really special as you grow up, and that's community for me.
Awesome. Yeah, so great to hear from Nick. And this morning, we also have Bart and Maria Alvin with their kids, Alexander and Penelope. And I asked them, would you guys share a little bit about your experience with community here, especially through the eyes of your kids as well? So Bart, take it away, if you would.
Sure. So Nick Smock, the gentleman that we just heard from, he was just one of many relationships that I built during my time in the youth group here at Thanksgiving. And those were honestly four of the best years of my life. They helped plant a foundation as I learned what freedom is. Not just the freedom to do whatever we want, right? But freedom in Christ. Having that freedom to do whatever, but saying, you know what? I'm good with this or I'm good with that. And so it was really great to have Nick and to just have a whole supporting group, to have that community to encourage one another and to grow with daily, to be able to lean on one another. And it's just so cool to look now at the ripple effect, you know, that those 4 years in high school has caused just on this congregation alone, as I see many of the men and women with families of their own. And I think that I speak for all of us when I say that we want the same experience for them that we were able to partake in together.
Awesome. So ripple effect. Yeah, your family is growing since you were that young high school guy. You met Maria and you guys got married, and now you've got Penelope and Alexander. So Alexander, he's a loquacious little kid. We love him. He loves to talk, and he's so, yeah, is that right? Yeah, Alexander. And Alexander's always got something going on in that mind. So we thought if you'd share a little bit, Alexander, why is Sunday school explorers, and why do you like going? What's fun about it?
Because I get to learn about our God and what he did on Earth when he made all living creatures, people, animals on Earth. It's just really fun to learn about it because God made everything on the whole Earth, and and you don't have to be rich just because you have a lot of money. You're rich with a house and food and money.
Yeah, that's good. All right. And you were, so that's, is that fun? You like going? Yeah.
What's your favorite thing to do?
What's your favorite thing to do down there?
I like to learn about God.
Okay, well, they can't get any better than that.
My teacher, Miss Peggy, does a lot of woolly fun things.
Cool. That's awesome. So that's community, right? Are you five or six now?
You know how old I am.
Oh, man.
Okay,
I should know. But you know, sometimes we get older, we forget things. So, all right, there we go.
I'm not done in y'all.
Okay, all right. And then Maria, you came into the picture, and man, you're raising this family. You guys had an amazing idea just a couple months ago about how to continue to build community around here. You want to share a little bit about that?
Sure. So we were meeting with our life group, and I had the idea maybe we should go ahead and change how we're doing community. So we came up with this trunk or treat idea. You know, we all have little kids.
Yeah.
It's been a hard past 2 years, so why don't we go ahead and do something fun for our kids and just get the congregation excited to come back to church. So we are doing our trunk or treat on the 24th from 4:30 to 6:30. We're going to have lots of trunks. We're doing s'mores and hot dogs, just lots of fun for the kids. If you're interested in still participating, you can still... Excuse Penelope.
She wants to talk too, right? You'll get your chance, Penelope. Yeah.
You can still sign up to do a trunk. We even have people that, you know, maybe they don't have a car or don't want to decorate. They're just bringing their lawn chairs and passing out candy just to see the kids dress up. So
all right.
It's a fun event.
You don't have to have kids to come.
No kids needed.
All right. We'll supply your kids. Maybe we'll take them home, right?
They can yes. Take them home. You yeah, are more right. than welcome
all
to borrow our children yeah. after they've had lots of sugar. You
that's
know,
awesome.
Always up for grabs.
Fantastic. Let's hear it for the Albans this morning. Yeah. All right. Thank you guys so much. I'll give you that. All right. Yeah. And I want to introduce you to a good friend of mine now. I would say Bart and Maria, they've been around for a while. Roderick, he's just come on the picture here at Thanksgiving. I just thought maybe give us a little insight. Yeah. What's it like? Just started coming to Thanksgiving. Lots going on. And I know I enjoy being around. You're a great guy. And I just thought, man, if you'd be willing to share a little bit the importance of this community to you, even in the early stages. So
perfect.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for letting me be here, by the way.
Yeah.
you know, I always thought of church, that I would walk through, like, you know, the church doors and you know, it would catch on fire because I'm walking in. And I had that type of faith just because I knew I had sinned, you know, and I kind of got somewhat forced to come here. And since I've been here, there's been something in my heart that has happened. You know, life changes. I think we all go through a lot of things in life. But there's the one thing is like what we were talking about was the community. Nick and his beautiful wife, they didn't know me from Adam, and they invited me to this barbecue. And I was like, man, he doesn't know me, but I knew he carried a gun on his hip. So I knew he was safe regardless. But like, since I've been here, you know, there's those times where you don't want to, like, life's happening and you don't know what's happening. And like little man said, like, you know, money issues, anything that happens. And here at Thanksgiving, I learned the true value is like, it's the wealth in your heart and the community and things that you share. And since I've been here, it's been easier to get out of bed on a Sunday and just, you know, get ready, get in the shower and get pumped to go to church. I live clear across town, and I don't plan on missing services here because this is what I look forward to, you know. But like, just the community in general here has like a powerful presence and an aura that like brings guys like, you know, my past and, you know, present and the things and problems that we have going on. And I'm sure everybody in here, you know, you have your own personal issues and, you know, things happen in life and you get knocked down and you don't know, you know, if God's even looking out for you anymore. But Pastor David here, he reaches out to me right away, not even knowing what's going on. So I know, like, God's heavily connected to this church in general. And the things that happens for my little girls in general, and the brightness when they go to childcare and come out with smiles and the wonderful ladies that take care of the children in the back and the people that bring up trunk or treat, stuff like that. You know, it's an honor that you guys even allow me here, but awesome. It's awesome to be here.
Cool. Thank you so much, Roderick. Yeah, that's great. I'll take that. Yeah, I'm going to follow you back here. So James, last person here we're going to share. James has been wanting to share every week. He wants to preach, and we're going to give him a chance to preach here one of these days. So I'm going to have you turn towards the camera a little bit. James, why is this in community, this church, so important to you? You share that with me often. You share it with Lisa often, why church is so important to you.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I love my church, and Pastor David and his wife stood up for my life, and they cared for me at church, and go to his son's baseball games all the time, and I get to hear my story next month, and that's about it.
All right, yeah, let's hear it for James. Thank you, James. Yeah, thank you for that. So, I don't know if you heard, the first thing James said was, I love my church. I love my church. Thank you for being that kind of a church, where people can come and say, I love my church. And that's what we're about today. We're talking about community, because this is unique. You know, a lot of people that don't vote differently, they don't hang out together. A lot of people that look differently, they don't hang out together. A lot of people that feel like if they have differences, they got to divide. We don't believe that here. We believe we have a higher calling than any of that stuff. And so we want to dig in this morning and talk about community. We have an amazing anniversary today, 2 years. 2 years we've been meeting with our campus at Richmond Village. Pastor Ken has been leading the way there. And hundreds of people have attended that worship service over that time. Now get this, it's morphed into 5 different expressions throughout the community. We're at Heritage Ridge and Hillcrest and 2 at Richmond. And I can't remember the other one right now, but it's amazing. They're hearing about what's going on in the community that's building. And I think, man, if you're bored, there's a lot going on right now, and you can be part of that, and you can help lead the way. We got Afghan refugees coming. We're looking for homes right now where we can house them for a year. We're going to adopt a family from Afghanistan, and it's going to be powerful, and they're going to teach us so much, and we're going to have an opportunity to walk alongside of them. This is good stuff, you guys. This is what it means to be part of community. Now, when God said it's not good for man to be alone in Genesis chapter 1, he wasn't just talking about marriage. He was talking about a new community he was forming. He was starting with Adam and Eve, but he was going to build this community that would impact the earth in powerful ways. And God created us to be in a relationship with him, but also with one another that's God-breathed and Holy Spirit-led. You talk to anybody, any doctor, any expert, any scholar, they'll tell you, you thrive best, even if you're an introvert, when you're around other people who are helping to mold and shape and to challenge and even disagree so that we can grow into everything that God wants us to be. Isolation and loneliness, those are not creations of God. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I would imagine almost everyone here in this room has felt lonely in the past year and a half. Now, you may not admit it, but there's this tendency in our lives, even if we've got a house full of people, that we can feel isolated and lonely. And so God creates this special community to speak into our lives. You heard it from all of these folks today. Sometimes our spouses speak into our lives for positive. Sometimes our parents do that. Sometimes. But if we're doing it all together, we cover all the bases. Okay? Have you heard about this phenomena that's been happening? I know it's been happening for years, but they're talking about it being ramped up. It's called the broken heart syndrome. Have you heard about that? The broken heart syndrome. How our emotional state, how our sense of loneliness, our mental challenges can actually physically impact our hearts. And they in the article that I read, there was a teenager in Norway they were talking about that had been left alone so long during the pandemic time that he ended up just sleeping for days, and they couldn't quite figure out what was going on, and he was on the course of dying. And all they could attribute it to was the fact that he was so acute lonely that it impacted his body was beginning to shut down. We need community, just like we need air. We need water. We need food to survive. That's why we're so passionate about this time of year, because we're talking about today what it means to be part of a community that the God of this universe established 2,000 years. It's called the church, and it's unique, and it's different than any other community that is known to humankind. Jesus said these words when he described it. Even the forces of hell won't be able to overcome it. I don't know about you, but I feel like we've had a lot of hell going on, in the last couple of years. Politics and pandemics and divisions and suspicions and conspiracies and fear, and it just seeps in, and that's been in the church too. We can't just say it's those people out there. It's happening in the church. And I'm not sure what news you listen to. I don't really care what news you listen to, but I came across this stat, and you know, it can be fake news if you want it to be fake news. I don't know. But according to the Daily Mail, which is Britain's highest circulated newspaper, so the Brits, right, did a survey of the U.S., and this is what they found out about our country right now. 52% of Trump supporters want red states to secede from the Union, and 41% of Biden supporters want blue states to secede from the Union. We got a serious problem on our hands. And I think it goes above the donkey and the elephant. There's a kingdom that God's inviting us to be a part of. And it's especially important this time of year to consider what it means to be part of a church. We say that we're saved by grace. There's nothing we can do to earn that. That is an amazing gift of God, that God loves us not based on our love ability, but the fact that he made a choice to love us through his son, Jesus Christ. And we can accept that into our hearts. But we also believe it should mean something to be part of a church. And the way that we talk about that around here is we talk about it, the choices that we make. The choices that we make. Last week, I don't know, hopefully you remember, we talked about what? Choosing. Oh, that's not the overwhelming response I was hoping for, okay? We talked about choosing what, Alex?
Choosing one.
There we go. Good. That's right. That's the kind of enthusiasm we need around here. That God has strategically put people in our lives that we're called to reach out to. And these aren't perfect people, just like us. They're not perfect people. And see, we said, what if we took Paul's admonition to the Corinthians? When 1 Corinthians 13, he said, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. We hear that at weddings, that we began to work that equation backwards. And we said, what if we just began to love people where they are, right? And then, Lord, would you give us an opportunity to provide hope for them? And then natural conversations about faith would come up, that we could talk about the hope that we have in Jesus. It's powerful when we begin to live this out. You want an adventurous life. There's nothing more adventurous than to pray every day, Lord, I'm open to whoever you want to bring in my path. I'll love them right where they are. And I know that you'll give me an opportunity to put some hope in their lives. Through you, through us, God will do that. And man, it's an adventure if we'll open ourselves up to that. So each week we're going to talk about one of these choices. Then on November 21st, can you say it with me? November 21st. Say it like you mean it. November 21st, right? November 21st, 6 p.m. We're going to gather in a worship service here, right in this space. And we're going to share testimonies about what God's been up to over these last 12 months. And it was powerful last year. It was the first time we've ever done such a thing. It was powerful as we gathered. And we just heard about the life change that God has been doing in people's lives. Every year we're going to do that. And our hope is that you'll want to gather and say, yep, I'm all in on this. I'm all in on this. If you want to read more about it, you can go to tlconnect.church under the five choices, and explains what we're talking about. But this morning we're going to talk about what it means to choose community. What it means to choose community. Do you have community? Community where you can be yourself. You can be your authentic self. And people aren't going to judge you or cancel you or divide with you. But they're going to listen to you. And they're going to walk with you. If you want that, it's available. See, the word community, the reason we chose it is it's a neutral word. It's a neutral word. And it can use to be described a healthy community. The biblical term for that is tov. It's a Hebrew word. It means goodness. The goodness that emanates from God can be present in our community, but they can also be toxic communities. There's both kinds. And there are many examples that we could point to of unhealthy communities. It's easy to point fingers at unhealthy communities, isn't it? Because they are people we disagree with. And theirs is unhealthy community. But the interesting thing about the scriptures, the interesting thing about God, is he always asks us to point first at ourselves. Are we a healthy community? Are we a toxic community? An angry mob that protests violently is community, but it's not the kind we're here for. And that's on the right and the left, so don't think I'm showing favorites there. A group that serves others by uniting together for a cause that benefits others, that is community. And that's the one that Jesus came to establish, not the first one. So we've been looking at these choices in the midst of our preaching series called Unleashed. Have you heard that word before? Have you heard that word Unleashed before? You know what? I get the impression that the corporate CEOs at Apple have been listening to our podcast and they've got an event coming up this week. Guess what it's called? Wow. We're even having an impact on Apple. That's pretty cool, right? So I hope you'll join in and, let them know. We're glad that we can be helpful to Apple as well. But today we're going to talk about what it means to be unleashed for community. And when you're unleashed, because this is many of our stories, we've grown up maybe Christian or we've just become a Christian. It feels very constricting. Like, I'm a Christian, but I'm not sure I'm experiencing like what you guys talk about. And I still have insecurities. I still have fears. I still lack confidence. I still compare myself to others. We said, what would it look like if we began to delve into these scriptures that the Apostle Paul, who was a guy that was actually chained up, right? He was in prison, but he was the most free human being in his time. He was unleashed to a joy that wasn't dependent on his circumstances. Some of us here, frankly, are just fed up with life. We're depressed. We're anxious. We're fearful. How can I have a joy in the midst of that? We can be confident when, frankly, there's not a lot to brag about. There's a different kind of confidence. We can be free from that comparison game when we feel like our life isn't what it should be. And we can be grateful even when life isn't turning out the way we desire. That's what we've been at for the last 2 months. I hope you can go back and listen to some of those messages. But today, as we dig into community, I want to set it up a little bit with some history about biblical community. Because as we talked in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that was God's plan, community. Right? It is not good for the man to be alone. And so there was this community, Adam and Eve, and they began to have kids, and there was community. But we know very quickly that community, it was taken apart. Right? There was disunity right away. Brothers were killing brothers. Man and woman were arguing. And things began to deteriorate. And then we pick it up in Genesis chapter 11. It's not a story that we talk about a lot around here, but it's a rich story. It's called the Tower of Babel. And I think it has especially import for us today. I just want to give you just a snapshot of that story for the time. So God created the world. It's kind of fallen apart. And now there's a lot of people in the world. And they're getting together. And they have one common language at this time. It's Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech." And I'm going to skip to verse 4 now. "They said to themselves, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make," get this, "a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the earth.' So they got together and they began to build this tower." And in verse 8, God sees what's going on. It says, "The Lord scattered them from all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it's called Babel." As you do a little study on that text, it's very interesting. The people of the earth were united by a single culture and language, but they were arrogant. They wanted to make what? Their name great. So they start to build a city with a tower. And they saw themselves as this essential link between God and the rest of the world, right? We are those people. And why? Because we have a mission for ourselves to make our name great. And it says, the Lord came down and confused their language. They were unable to work together on their self-serving mission. And that disunity plagued all of humanity throughout the Old Testament. But then the new comes. Then God comes down himself as Jesus, and he begins to establish a new community. He begins to call people who are willing to follow him, who are willing to say, I'm going to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow you. And they begin to follow Jesus, and they begin to establish this community of people that's not just about raising up their name, but they're raising up God's name. They care far more about that, as imperfectly as we do that, than they do about their own name. Now, here's where this connection piece comes in. It's really cool. I've never picked this up, but in a commentary I was reading this past couple of weeks, it's so powerful. Now, we fast forward to Pentecost, okay? So the idea of Pentecost is that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to come back, and when he arrived, that was called the Pentecost. It was the birthday of this community called the church. But what we read when we read Acts chapter 2 is this. It says they all spoke different languages, but through that, they were able to understand each other because they were centered around not their own mission, but they had submitted themselves to God's mission. And so on this one hand, you had people that spoke the same language that are now divided and disunified. And then on the other hand, you have people that speak different languages, but now can communicate with each other. What's the difference? Same Messiah, Jesus, and the same mission that Jesus is. We are the people of Pentecost, not the people of Babel. That's the kind of community that you're being called into at this time of the year. And it says 3,000 believed that day, and they formed a new community. And it didn't cause confusion anymore. It caused insight and purpose and everything we need for daily living. Now, to catch you up to where we are today. So Paul was one of those people that was impacted. His name was Paul. When we pick it up, he's in prison. He's in prison for sharing the message of Jesus. But prior to that time, Paul had been all over the Middle East establishing these kinds of communities that he was called into by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they began as a small fledgling group, but then they began to grow and to grow. And the reason we're here today is because they continued to grow over the course of the whole earth. That's the kind of movement that you're a part of. That's the kind of community that you're a part of. And I want to tell you, I don't know that in my 24 years here, it's ever been a harder time, right? People ask these questions. Why aren't more people back? Why aren't more people doing this? Why aren't more people doing that? And I get answers like you would not believe. All across the board, we get answers. You know, and there's really good reasons why people don't feel comfortable, or we haven't seen people, or it's just as varied. And what we've said as a staff and leadership is we can't understand it all. What we're called to do is just be faithful and to get up every day and say, Lord, your will be done, not my own. I think God can do something with people like that who get up and say, your will be done and not my own. And those are the communities that Paul was establishing. And we are the benefactors of that today. And that's why we've been studying this Unleash for these last couple of months together. Now, today we're talking about Unleash for Community. And I want to just briefly offer you three benefits of why choosing community is so powerful. The first is this. It's in our identity. It establishes our identity. It is amazing, and I don't get on social media very often, but to listen to the investigation for an identity investigation for our gender, an investigation for our sexuality, an investigation for this and for this, and it all boils down to this. I want to find my truest self. And if you deny my truest self, then you're offensive to me. So I want you to affirm me in my truest self. And what we believe is this, that our identity starts here in Genesis 1:26, right? For we were made in the image of God. In the image of God, he created them male and female. That's where our primary identity starts. Nothing else supersedes that. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. That is so powerful. And we let anything else get in that position, we get into trouble. We start to experience disequilibrium. So we look to our jobs to find our identity. And we look to our spouses to affirm our identity. And we look to our children and our grandchildren and their accomplishments to find our identity. And we look at the way we are created, big or small or whatever it is, brown eyes or blue eyes, to find our identity. We look to the culture to affirm our identity. We look to our politics to inflame our passions for our identity. We look to our sports teams to find... We don't do that in Nebraska. No, sorry. Sorry, I just had to throw that. We are Husker fans to the end, no matter what, right? Even if Minnesota beats us, okay? But we can look to anything else. We end up like the Tower of Babel. We try to build our own little monument to get to God, and God says, no. And I happen to believe that God is doing an amazing work during this pandemic, that he's refining us, and he's helping us to repent from our excesses of the past and help us to be more focused on his mission and not our own. And that, I'll tell you, that's painful. It's been painful for our family, painful for your families, painful for you, I'm sure. But God is good, and God always has more for us. Because he wants us. He wants us for his own. And that's when we establish our identities in him. We discover truly who we are. So even if you're struggling with your identity today, you are welcome here. We don't just say that. Right, Roderick? We believe it. We believe it, James. We believe it all across the board. You are welcome here. Don't let anything else define you. And don't let a church reject you. You are welcome here just as you are. But here's the pregnant pause. But God loves you way too much to let you stay where you are. God loves us just that much that he'll use any means to grow us more and more into the likeness of his son, because that truly is the best life here and for eternity. So you're welcome, and there's no buts. However, God wants to help us to be everything we are created to be by being formed in the likeness of his son. And it's messy. It is so messy. But we are image bearers of the God of the universe. Second thing he offers us in community is this. He offers us security, right? It's an insecure time. Can anyone tell me what 6 months from now is going to look like? Is the stock market going to fall? Is the pandemic going to go up? Is, you know, Russia, China, this? I mean, you could list everything across the board. Right? What's going to happen? Nobody knows. It's an insecure time, isn't it? It was insecure for Paul as he's sitting there where? In a jail cell. Why? Because he's going to be executed. Does he know when, where, how? Nope. He doesn't know any of that. But he's the most free human being on the planet at that time. Why? Because he knew who he was, and he knew where his security lay. They greeted each other as brother and sister. Why? Because they had shared experiences of going through some tough things together. That's where relationships are forged, aren't they? That's where healthy, whatever, marriages, friendships, you across the board, that's where they're forged. It's through those tough times that we stick together and say, there's something good on the other side, but we're going to stick together through it all. They knew they weren't just living for this world. I read a really uplifting devotional yesterday. You know, we've challenged you guys and challenged ourselves is this. Read a Bible verse first thing you do in the morning, last thing you do at night. Just start there. And what you find is that you end up reading a little bit more than you thought you were going to read. My verse yesterday was this. It's so uplifting. They said this, the day you die is better than the day you were born. That just made my day, right? Did you hear what I said? The day you die is better than the day you were born. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And I thought to myself, wouldn't that be interesting if you could actually live that way? Like those early believers that thought, you know what? I don't want to prematurely be out of this world. I don't, you don't. But wouldn't it be great if we lived with such a security that we knew our afterlife was taken care of and that we'll be there and we don't have to fear that because it's going to be so good. That it would give us the energy and the focus and the security and the identity to live out each of these days of our lives with just this confidence that knowing this isn't all there is. And life is hard sometimes, but it'll all be reconciled one day and that we can trust God. And that's what that early church began to live with. That's what we believe God's calling us to live with, that kind of security. You know, kids need security. Alexander, you need security?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Teens need security. Young adults, they need security. Adults, we need security. Retirees, do we need security? Yeah. Those who are ready to face Jesus in the next day or two, they need security as well. And the church is unleashed. It lives in this kind of security that can only come from knowing who we are and whose we are, right? It's a confidence, okay? That's what we're reminded of when we gather for community. That's what we're reminded of. Last thing is this. We're invited to choose community because it gives us our life's responsibility. We've got two seniors in our house. Two seniors, not as in salt seniors, right? Retirees, but two seniors in high school. And they're asking questions like, where do you think, Mom and Dad, where do you think we should go to college? What do you think I should do with my life? And I'm so grateful that there's people in their lives other than their mom and dad that write notes and say, hey, just praying for you. Good job the other day. Thinking about your future and just wanted you to know we care about you. And as I look out and I see people, I'm just so grateful that we're part of a community like that. And as I reflect on that, our sense is that we want that for everyone. Everyone on this whole planet should have a community that gathers around them and says, we're going to walk with you. We're going to talk with you. We're going to challenge you when you're going in a direction that doesn't seem like it's going to lead to a good ending. We're going to encourage you when you've got success. And my sense in taking the temperature out there, it's not a lot of folks have that. And maybe even side here, not a lot of us have that. I was talking with a retired person recently, and they were saying that they'd been in a big position in their life and had a kind of an identity that, you know, people knew them. And they were saying they were sitting in their retirement neighborhood around a dinner table, and they're talking with colonels and maybe a general or two and people who'd been titans of their industry, and all of them were sort of lamenting about the fact that, who are you after all that? Who are you when you don't have that title anymore? And I thought, wow, we get to be part of this kind of community that says our identity, first and foremost, isn't in our positions, and our security isn't in our positions, but there's something even better. That we're children of God and we're ambassadors of the life-giving message of Jesus. And that our call is to go out on a high note, right? That every day, whether we've got one day left or like Alexander, we've got a lot of days left, that every day would be an adventure walking with the God of the universe and with his people. So I'd ask you just to be praying right now. Wherever stage of life you're in, retirement is really not biblical. Now, you can retire and change jobs and do different things and relax. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but I am saying retirement in the kingdom is never an option, right? There's always, God always has more for us. It might not be in the position you're in currently, but it's going to be in a different position because of our community that's rooted in our identity and our security and our life's responsibility. God has good things for us to do. So I want to close just as an invitation. If you're not part of a community, community where you're known and others know you and you know them, we just invite you. There's life groups, there's serving teams, there's all sorts of ways. Pastor Billy leads us in our life groups and talks about real friends and real growth. and real impact can all be had in that time together. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward, and I'm going to pray. And I just ask during this next song, if that seems really confusing, what I said today, you think, that seems like a big risk. I don't know that. What if people are going to judge me? What if I'm too unworthy? Like Roderick said, what if I walk in the door, I feel like I'm going to burn up, right, because of my past? Would there be a community that would accept me? Would there be a community that I could grow into? Let's just pray for that right now. Lord, as we continue on in our worship of you, as we give you our hearts and our resources, all that we have, God, we ask that you would just take those and bless them. And Lord, our sense, God, that this is a great time to be the church, but it's hard. And our sense, Lord, is that we are called to do this together, that you have more for us. And so, God, no matter where we are today, we sense that you have more for us to do that with the others that you've called us into community with. Give us the courage by your Holy Spirit to take one step to reach out and to receive what you have for us today. Lord, we want to be a people that's not about lifting ourselves up like in Babel. But we want to be the Pentecost people that are united in a common mission and a common Messiah. So thank you, Lord, that you're always making ways to do that. Open up our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.